Okay, so we're moving into Ezra Savaseinu as we're approaching finally Shemoneh Esrei itself. And we start Ezra Savaseinu, Atu Meolam. Rav Shimon Schwab tells us that Avaseinu refers to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. As Chazal tell us, Ein Koren Avos El Lishlosha, we only call Avos to these three. And these forefathers lived in times which no one can remember, Meolam. From the word Nelam, was hidden. And we know of them only because their history is recorded in the Torah. The word Ezras is the weaker feminine form of Ezer, which is the stronger masculine form of the word meaning help. The weaker form Ezras, which is used here, may subtly express the thought that our Avos, by their own Zchuyos, Emuna, Betachon, did their own part to help bring about their salvation. Consequently, Hashem had only to be their Ezras and not their Ezer, because they too participated in their own salvation through their Maisim Tovim. And Rav Shimon Schwab says, interestingly, a wife is called an Ezer Kenegdo, utilizing the masculine, stronger form of the word, despite her femininity. And this is because that which a wife does, the husband cannot do. For instance, she bears the children, she nurses them. And in this aspect, she is a full-fledged Ezer, because the husband relies on her completely to perform her own part in complementing the marriage. Just as you protected and saved our forefathers, Hashem acts as a Mogein, a shield to protect us from mishaps. And if because our Averos, adverse things do happen in our lives, Hashem is also our Moshiach, to whom we can look for salvation from our sorrows. Livnei Machraim just means that those who adopt their lifestyle of keeping the Torah and mitzvos, just like the Avos had. Brum Olam Mashavecho, Mishpatecha, Vitzidkoscha, and Avseyoretz. There are two kinds of judgments. One is Mishpatecha, from the word Shafot, which means order. And it refers to the harsh judgments of those people who deserve to be treated with strict justice. And the other is Tzidkosecha, from Tzedakah, which means charity, and refers to the mild or mitigated judgments which are charitable to those who have earned a milder form of punishment. Avseyaretz, the ends of the world. So while Hashem is high and mighty, inconceivable, inexplicable, nevertheless, His tzedakah and mishpat reach everyone on earth with reward and punishment, and will continue to do so as long as the world exists. Ashrei Yishi Yishmal Tzvasecha, the term used is not Sheshomea, who listens, but rather Sheyishma, who will listen. One who has decided to abide by the mitzvos. And Shimon Schwab says this refers to the Baal Taiva, who has made up his mind that he will listen to the mitzvos of Hashem in the future. And the Pasuk tells us, Ashrei Yish Yeira Hashem, happy is the man who fears Hashem. And the Chachamim say, Amar Rav Amram Amar Rav, Ashrei Misha Ose Tshuva Kishuhu Ish. Happy is the person who does tshuva while he's still a man, in his full strength. Many people do tshuva as a last resort when they're old and feeble and have no strength left to do anything wrong, so they decide they might as well do things right. But how fortunate and happy is the person who recognizes his mistakes while he's still young and strong enough to do averos, and yet he struggles with his temptations and overcomes them. To be sure, Hashem waits for a person's tshuva until his last breath, as we say in Nesanat Tokef, V'ad yomoso techakelo im yoshem yatekablo. Then until the day of his death, Hashem waits for him, and if he returns, he accepts him immediately. Nevertheless, the tshuva of a person in his full vigor is on a much higher level. V'sayroscha udvarcha yosem alibo. Even a rasha can turn his life around and do tshuva when they accept Hashem's Torah and His words. If Shimon Schwab asks, what does udvarcha and your word mean? Isn't Hashem's word the Torah? And he explains that after Aaron's two sons died, Moshe said to him, Hu asher diber Hashem lemar b'krovai HaKadosh. And the Ramban explains that Hu asher diber does not refer literally to a specific word of Hashem. Rather, it means the decrees of Hashem. Ki dvar Hashem gzeirosav v'machshav tov inyan drachov. If a person experiences a difficult occurrence in his life, gzeirim min hashemayim, this is the decree. This decree is the word of Hashem, Hashem speaking to him, and it means something. He has to become a different person afterwards. Moshe is telling Aaron here that Hashem is talking to him. Any person who goes through tragedies and difficult periods in his life, and unfortunately, most of us have, is experiencing a private conversation with Hashem, a wake-up call from Hashem to him to examine his life. In peacetime and under normal circumstances, Hashem's the master of his people. As such, he provides for and offers them his special care, hashkacha, although he may not make his presence and our affairs known. And we may not even be aware of his protection, but we know hine lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. However, under abnormal circumstances, when there are wars and disputes, Hashem acted and will act again as our powerful king who wages our wars. Emes atu rishon v'hu achron. This second statement of truth is a declaration that Hashem is the one who has waged our battles from the very first one, Yetzias Mitzrayim, until the final geula at the time of Mashiach. And in between, meaning during all of Jewish history, all the other redemptions were and are also only entirely the result of the personal intervention of Hashem on our behalf. Although throughout the long periods of Hester Panim in Jewish history, it may have seemed as if Hashem was only indirectly involved in our delivery from evil forces, however in reality, it was also only Hashem himself who fought our wars and saved us from destruction, and nobody else. The word Goel means a complete redemption, while Moshiach is only a partial salvation, the relief of the problem at hand, but not a complete resolution of the overriding problem. Mimitzrayim Gealtanu Hashem Elokeinu. Until here, everything was an introduction to the commemoration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this statement is in accordance with the requirement that each person imagine that he personally experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim. When we base Avodim Pidisanu, the Mechilta tells us that the borders of Mitzrayim were so tightly guarded that prior to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the going out of Klal Yisrael, no slave had ever escaped from there. And it's for this reason the land of Mitzrayim was called a base Avodim. The word Pidisanu means there's an additional aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When Hashem redeemed us from Mitzrayim, he exchanged us, our Bechor, for the Bechorei Mitzrayim. Kol Bechoreim Harogta uVecharcha Ga'alta. On his first mission to Paro, Hashem told Moshe to declare that the Jewish people were the Bechor of Hashem. In Mitzrayim, all the firstborn sons were sanctified to be ministrants to various gods of the Mitzrayim worship. At Makas Bechoros, Hashem exchanged these firstborn Mitzrayim for his own nation of firstborn, Am Yisrael, whose mission in life would be to promulgate the worship of the one and only Hashem. The Yamsuf Pekata. Without Kriyas Yamsuf, the full effect of Yetzias Mitzrayim on Bnei Yisrael would have been canceled. The purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf was to dispel the notion that the Mitzrayim were being helpful in the release of Bnei Yisrael from their country. After all, did they not give us presents of gold, silver, other valuables? We know Paro sent an escort along to make sure that they wouldn't get lost, they'd be going in the right direction. And it was therefore necessary to cancel this misconception by having the Mitzrayim show themselves to what they really were, the deadly enemies of Bnei Yisrael, who were now pursuing them with the intention of completely annihilating them. And this final confrontation resulted in the destruction of the pursuing Mitzrayim through the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. And this, the last of the miraculous events surrounding Yetzias Mitzrayim, impressed upon them once and for all that Yetzias Mitzrayim had been accomplished against the will of the Mitzrayim and only by the personal intervention of Hashem. V'zeidim tibata v'yedidim hervarta. Reb Shimon Schwab asks, he says it should have said the opposite. It should have first said that he saved his beloved ones and then he drowned the wicked ones. So he explains that there was a nace, besoch nace, there was a nace within the nace here. When the Mitzrayim saw that the sea had split and a completely dry path had appeared before Bnei Yisrael, the Mitzrayim followed them into the sea. Even if they rationalized that it was due to the high winds and the low tide that caused this phenomenon, were they not afraid that the winds could shift at any moment and the sea could swallow them up? However, Chazal tell us, at this stage the Egyptian officers were no longer in control of the army, because their horses pulled their chariots forward against their driver's will into the dry land within this parted sea, and the rest of the army obediently followed. He adds, this is what's meant in Cherashirim, Lesusasi, Berichve Paro, Dimisich, Rayosi. The Hashem saying, I've compared you, my friend, to the horse leading the chariots of Paro, and just as their horses followed my command and pulled Paro and his army into the sea, So do I follow your requests, my friend, when you pray to me. So at the same time that Bnei Yisrael was walking through the Yamsuf and dry land, the Mitzrayim were already being covered by the returning sea. So this Nes B'soch Nes was happening first, and therefore, he says, we say Zeidim Tibata, and then Yedidim Hevarta. Yedidim, the reason we're called beloved, is because they had full betachon in Hashem and followed his direction of Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Yiso. First Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped in, followed by Shevet ben Yamin, and then the rest of the Klal Yisrael. And at that moment of trust that they showed in Hashem, did the sea split. Vayichasu mayim tereim, echon mehem lo nosar. This phrase is a quotation from Tehillim. However, according to the Medrash, the Paro did survive. Reb Shimon Schwab says he was not considered one of the pursuing enemies since Hashem had wanted him to survive. Also, Shibchu Ahuvim Vromu Kel, this is a reference to the Shiras Yam, in which Klal Yisrael said, Al Ke'avi Varomim Menhu. V'nosnu Yedidim Zmiros Shiros V'Sishbachos Brachos V'Odos L'mel Kel Chai V'Kayim. Therefore, following the example of the Ahuvim, who praised Hashem with the Shiras Hayam, the Yedidim, the dear ones, meaning our Chachamim, instituted songs, poetry, and praises, blessings, and expressions of gratitude to the King, the living God. In the famous Siddur of Pinchas ben Rabbi Yehuda Mipalachik, he explains that this sentence is a summary of the entire davening. Zemiros is Psuki de Zimra. Shiros is Az Yashir. Zishbachos is Yishtabach. Brachos is Yotzer Ar. Vehodos is Avaraba. Lamel Kel Chai Vekayim is Kriyashma and Shmon Esrei with its Chai, with its 18 brachos. Now, the entire Tefillah of Ezras up to this point has been an introduction to the Birchas HaGeula, which now begins with the following 10 attributes of Hashem, which Bnei Yisrael recognized at Kriyas Yamsuf. Rum, high. Hashem was so high that none of his creatures, even the Malachim, can comprehend him. Venisa, exalted, meaning carried by the Malachim, who are the Merkava, the chariot of the Shekhinah. Gadol, great, which is always a reference to the Mizrachimim as Gadol Chosed. Venora, awesome, referring to Midas Hadin. Mashbolgeim, he lowers the arrogant, a reference to the Midas Hadin, which Hashem applied to the Mitzrayim. Umagbiah Shefolim, he raises the lowly, a reference to the Midas Harachimim, which he showed to Bnei Yisrael. Motzi Asirim, he takes out those who are imprisoned. Ufod Anovim, he redeems the humiliated ones. V'ozer Dalim, he helps the helpless. Here the masculine Ozer is used, because a Dal always means one who has no means to help himself, and therefore a full measure of help is required to save him. And this refers to all people. But to Bnei Yisrael we say, V'ona la'amo be'shavam elof. He answers his people when they call to him for help. The word shavam, which we get from the word Yeshua, is used in the sense of calling for help. Tehilos, l'kel elyon, baruchum v'vorach. This phrase introduces a new thought into the tefillah. And the minig is to rise at this point in preparation for Shemoneh Esrei, because in this phrase lies the highest part of the Tehillos, which Bnei Yisrael expressed in the Shira. We now describe Hashem as Kel Elyon, meaning He is so high as to be incomprehensible to us. Hashem does things which we simply do not and cannot understand. We do not understand why Hashem permitted so many Jewish children to be killed by the Mitzrayim, and why He allowed them to enslave and brutalize entire generations. Nevertheless, what Bnei Yisrael meant by this in the Shira is that we praise Hashem, who's Kel Elyon, He's above our understanding, even for the things which we do not understand. We accept these as absolutely right and only good. Rav Shimon Schwab tells us that the proper phrasing here is Tehillos, L'Kel Elyon, Baruch Hu, and then the word Umavorach. We then continue, Moshe of Bnei Yisrael, Chanu Shirab, Simcha Rabbah, V'yomru Chulam. Moshe and all of Bnei Yisrael, with great joy, said the following pasuk, which was previously referred to in Tehillos Kel Elyon. And again, the proper phrasing is Moshe Bnei Yisrael Chanu Shirub Simcha Rabba, and then V'yomru Chulam. Micha Mocha Be'elam Hashem. This is one of the two psukim of the Shira, which the Masadre HaTfilah have quoted in this bracha, in both Shachris and Ma'ariv, apparently as a summary of the entire Shira. The other one is Hashem Yimloch Lolam Vod. And this pasuk was singled out because it incorporates the concept of giving praise to Hashem for the galus as well as the geula. As we mentioned back in Az Yashir in the Shira, Elim can be read as Elim as mute. And Bnei Yisrael accepted the silence of Hashem in face of their suffering as a manifestation of His will, and praised Him for it, as surely as they thanked and praised Him for their redemption. Mi chamocha nedav hakodesh, kedusha, something which is separated. There is nothing as powerful and as far removed from our understanding as you are, and we simply cannot have any answers to the questions of Micha Mocha Be'ilmim Hashem. Nevertheless, they sang Shira B'Simcha Rabbah, not only for their joy of their redemption, but they also accepted B'Simcha Rabbah, the judgment of Hashem, for their suffering. Noris Ahilos Osef Ella. We tend to offer praises only for the good things, but actually we're required to do so for both good and the bad. While we can appreciate and offer praise to Hashem for the Nisim which result in our redemption, we tend not to understand the lack of those Nisim when we cry out for help and are apparently not answered, which is also Pella, wondrous. Narasihilos means that it is with trepidation that we offer praises to Hashem for good things that happen in our lives, because while doing so, we may lose sight of our obligation to praise Hashem, even for that which we cannot understand. However, with Micha Mocha, Bnei Yisrael finally expressed their full and joyful acceptance of the Golus and praised Hashem for it, while at the same time they celebrated their Geula. Shira Chadosha, Shibchu Geulim, L'Shimcha Svas Hayom. This new song, that of praising Hashem for the bad as well as the good, resulted from their heightened awareness of the sovereignty of Hashem's rule of the world. After Bnei Yisrael crossed the sea, having been miraculously redeemed and was standing safely on the other outer banks, the other side, they achieved a heightened awareness of the concept of Malchus Shemayim, and therefore ended their song of praise by declaring the name of Hashem as their Melech. The Shiboleh Haleket quotes his brother Ibn Yamin that the reason why we recite Shir Chadosh in the feminine form and not Shir Chadosh in the masculine form is because the Shira at the Yam Suf was in the feminine form, as it says, as Hashira Hazos. The Medrash HaGadah gives another reason. Chazal instituted that a female receives 10% of her father's estate. And when we left Mitzrayim, we received the land of the seven nations. This represented 10% of the total of the 70 nations of the world. We inherited like a female, so we praise Hashem in the feminine form. In the future, we will receive much more land. We will inherit like a male, and we will praise Hashem in the male form, as it says, Shiru lo Shir Chadosh. Another explanation given by Rav Mordechai Potash is just as a female can give birth, so too the Golus of Mitzrayim had offspring. It was followed by other exiles. The ultimate Geula will have the characteristics of a male, and just as a male cannot give birth, when we leave this Golus, hopefully any day, now, we will not endure any others. Yachad kulam hodu v'imlichu v'yomru Hashem yimloch l'olam v'ed. At that moment, Moshe and Bnei Yisrael altogether acknowledged that Hashem is their melech by saying Hashem yimloch l'olam v'ed. And Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch says, olam means the hidden future and v'ed means the certain future. So this pasuk means that nobody knows how or when, but it is certain that eventually the sovereignty of Hashem will be recognized by the entire world. Since these two psukim, Micha Mocha and Hashem Yimloch, are the high points of the Shira, the minig is for the entire tzibur to say them together, as our forefathers did, and as we say, V'omru Chulam and Yachad Kulam. Suri Yisrael, the final portion of this tefillah, is a plea to Hashem that He may repeat for us that which He did for our forefathers at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, namely to bring about our Geula. Kuma Be'ezras Yisrael, the word Ezras, connotes salvation in which the subject participates in the salvation. We participate in the Geula with our steadfast betachon that Hashem will redeem us soon. We have nothing else to offer Hashem but our betachon, and this entitles us to be mispalel for the Geula. Bnei Yisrael throughout the millennium have maintained their unshakable betachon in Hashem in the face of all of their trials and suffering in the Golus, and have never given up hope that Hashem will bring the Geula soon with the coming of Mashiach. Uftechenu mecha Yudav Yisrael, the phrase Num Hashem is used frequently in the addresses of Hashem to the Nevi'im. Pidei, meaning redemption, is used here again in the sense of an exchange, the destruction of the Rishayim in order to save the Tzadikim. The name Yehuda refers to the special Tzadikim, and Yisrael to the ordinary Jew. Goaleinu Hashem Tzivoko Shemo Kedosh Yisrael. This quotation has been added and accepted almost universally as part of the Tefillah. Rav Shimon Schwab tells us that the minig in Frankfurt was to omit this pasuk, and the Rokeach explains that Tzur Yisrael contains the name Yisrael four times to correspond to the four expressions of Geula. The addition of this pasuk, which also contains the name Yisrael, would have added a fifth and thus interfered with this symbolism. Furthermore, without this pasuk, this tefillah contains 14 words and 60 letters, which corresponds to the 600,000 who were redeemed on the 14th of Nisan. However, in all other places, this pasuk is said based on the Kabbalah of the Arizal. And then we end Baruch Atah Hashem Gaal Yisrael with this bracha. We conclude the Geula. Gaal is in past tense, referring to Geulas Mitzrayim. The halacha of Smichas Geula Tefillah requires that we now immediately, without any interruption, begin Shemon Esrei. This even precludes the saying of Amen between Gaal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei, and it is therefore advisable to finish the bracha together with the Chazan, who says it audibly but with a lowered note, as a signal for those who are with him not to answer Amen, but yet loud enough for the benefit of those who have not yet reached this point in their tefillah who should answer Amen. And just to close this part out, the Mashkiach of Amir and Panovich of Chaskel Levenstein would lament that of the haste with which Ezra Zavaseinu is often said. He would refer to this tefillah as a miniature nishmas, and he likened the rushing through Ezra's to someone who places a delicious meat into his mouth only to have it snatched away before he actually can enjoy its taste. Now, instead of a story, I just figured I would say a thought, you know, as we're looking, and hopefully it's still, we have time, it won't happen, but we're looking at Shavuos HaMatamos in the 3 weeks coming, and just the thought about how Hashem, you know, we mentioned in here how different tzaras and things, how Hashem talks to us, and, you know, about approximately a year ago, minus 3 weeks, we all got up at a Tisha B'Av, all hoping that Lashana Abba Yerushalayim. And the truth is, and I say this, you know, about myself also, is that, you know, life goes on, and we forget, and we are comfortable, and we don't think about, you know, are we really waiting for Mashiach, as the Gemara tells us, that Achamev Esrim, Hashem's going to ask us four questions, and one of those four questions are, Tzipisa Li Yeshua. Did you wait? Did you, you know, desire the Yeshua, the salvation? And, you know, we have to think about, as we're facing another three-week period, you know, with everything going on in the world, where Hashem certainly is talking to us, whether it's what's going on in the Arab world, or now what's spread into Eretz Yisrael itself, what's spread to our brothers, that Hashem's talking to us, and He's telling us this is not normal where we are. And, you know, we think about, many of us say it after davening, an imamim b'emunah shleima, b'vias HaMashiach, v'yafal pishis mameyim, kol zeh achakalo b'chol yom sheyavo, which means that I believe with complete faith in the coming of Mashiach, and even though He may delay, nevertheless I anticipate every day that He will come. And we also say again in Shemoneh Esrei, three times a day, in the bracha of Esemach David, Ki lishuascha kivinu kol hayom, for we hope for your salvation all day long. And we have to think about, do we really hope for it? Are we really, you know, thinking about that we're missing this relationship with Hashem, we're missing the Geula, we're missing Mashiach, or, you know what, life's okay. You know, the fighting's over there, Baruch Hashem, it's not here, and it should never make it to our shores. But the world we live in is a crazy world. And again, as we face another 3 weeks, you know, we should think about the message that Hashem is talking to us. And the fact that, you know, we spent so much time, this was our 57th Vod and Tefillah, you know, we certainly have an appreciation. We may not understand every last thing, but we have an appreciation of what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish three times a day in the amount of time that we spend there. And that, you know, we should take advantage. You know, the next, you know, we still have today, tomorrow, but certainly through the 3 weeks, we certainly have three more weeks before we have to face the Tisha B'Av, that we should take advantage of the time and daven to Hashem, you know, perhaps take something on to show Hashem that, you know, we are serious about we want to come home. You know, we really want the Beis HaMikdash. We want that relationship again. And that we are, Lishuascha Kvinu Kol Hayom, we are hoping and waiting all day long for that Yeshua. And obviously the homework is to think about the tefillah of Ezras as you go into Shemoneh Esrei, and just again to, you know, try to focus and think about, you know, what we're facing once again, and to really be Tzipisa LeYeshua.